Morgan Wallen, 98Q Country. Here we go on a Thursday slash Monday slash your morning, guys. Very confused. I'm getting old. I'm struggling after the holidays. So I got to bring in some young blood. Gray Gunderson, how we doing, Gray?
Happy Mon Thursday.
Happy Mon Thursday to everyone. 2025. How does it hit you as someone who was born around the turn of the century in that right in that era? How does 2025 hit you today?
See, I'm affected in ways people... So a lot of people who grew up in the 80s or spent a significant portion of their life in the 80s, they'd look at me and be like, ah, oh, you don't remember when 1980 was 20 years ago. But I do. That's like kind of when my eyes were opening up to the world. Well, so I was born in 94. So I was six in the year 2000. So Y2K just right over my head, passed me by.
Sure.
But we did receive the Windows 98 Dell around that time. So the world kind of entered our house, and one of my earliest memories, formative memories, was not the computer itself, but playing with the box that it came in. I'm like your average cat. I had more fun with the box than the toy. But because of that, it'd be probably pretty easy to sort of lump me in with the Gen Zers, and I get it to a degree. I think there's a lot of similarities between a lot of millennials and a lot of Gen Z, but if you ask millennials, they look at Gen Z, and it's like, okay, I'm suddenly starting to feel old when I see what kids these days are getting into. Like, I get what my parents were grumpy about now that there's another generation after us to look at that way. And so that's kind of the thing, is that I can't believe that we're in the 20s. We're in the mid 20s. You know, I think of the 1920s, and I think of people who used to talk about the 20s. I also think about the fact that my great grandmother Hilma, she had a really unique timing to her life. She was born in 1897, and she lived to be 104. I think we've talked about this.
3 centuries.
Yes. Wow. So she touched 3 centuries. And then I realized, holy cow, I was born in 1994.
You got a shot at it.
Yeah. So I got to hit 106, but I might see every day of this entire century. And that's a quarter of the way over if it's true. And that's terrifying. Holy cow. I've already seen 25 years of this millennium. So have all of us. But I don't know. I think more important to me than you are to me. So it's kind of weird.
Well, I think as I get older, one of the more difficult parts about getting older, other than seeing people die that you've known for a long time, other than that, is just seeing things from that you grew up with in your teens and 20s, even 30s, just be obsolete and just be a memory. From the 80s and 90s, just life is so much different. I understand now why when people get older, they like to share memories of when they were younger, because that was the core of what they were when they grew up. And now, poof, it's just kind of gone. It's just kind of gone. So I get it. I get it now a little bit.
The human experience is absolutely bizarre, because I think each one of us deals with the, you know, hanging out with your parents in church after the service is over. And just what do you want to do as a kid? You want to leave.
Yeah.
You want to leave. It is a four-word sentence that describes your whole being. You want to leave. And what do your parents do?
Mm-hmm.
They talk. And it's I don't know when it happens, sometime perhaps in your early 20s, but all of a sudden, there you are, talking after church. And it's like, wait a minute, when did that transition occur? When did I care more about what these people have to say than whatever used to pull me back home? Mm-hmm. I have no idea. But I know when my parents used to warn me, one day you won't want to leave church so fast. I was like, yeah. No, not going to happen that way. And so too with every kid. So the inevitable next step in the process is that we have a kid, and that kid wants to leave. Like, that's got to be the next step of the process, is having a kid who then wants to leave. Like, why is it that if you got the perfect parent-child relationship, imagine you've got the parent and the child who don't exist, the parent who can perfectly teach their child everything and the child who perfectly trusts everything that their parent teaches them. They don't exist, but imagine that. Why can't that work? Why is it that each one of us can listen to our lessons and even accept them? Like, my dad will warn me about a thing for this thing I'm about to do. It's like, okay, cool. I accept that. I listen. That sounds like a reasonable thing. But until I'm in the bottom, until I hit rock bottom and it's affecting me and it's personal and I can be selfish about it, why don't I really get it? It's like, oh, shoot. I understand why he would. He looked really nervous when he warned me about this thing. And I'm really nervous now that it's happening to me. So it's even that perfect parent relationship, I think, would still result in, oh, crap, now it's happening to me and I get it.
The main reason I wanted to to leave church was because the kickoff was at noon.
Oh,
was the big thing. I remember sitting in the car and listening to the radio, thinking to myself, I'm going to miss the kickoff. I'm not going to be able to see the kickoff. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Come on, let's go. Come on.
See, another mark of aging. I go into every football game assuming that I'm going to be late for the kickoff. Okay. And I find that, therefore, I am pleasantly surprised when I get to watch the whole game. And it's not like I have an issue with punctuality. Rachel and I are both very timely people, so we do make it to most kickoffs. But that's just kind of the attitude I've taken since I've turned 30. Is like, all right, just assume you're going to miss the kickoff. It'll add a nice little cherry on top of the sundae right at the beginning when you don't expect you're going to get it.
And there is a lot less stress for me watching a football game now, knowing that at any point I can just hit the left arrow and I can go back. Because everybody, unless you are watching through rabbit ears, everybody pretty much has the ability to rewind, and it's there. Whereas when I grew up watching football, if you didn't see it happen right there, it's gone. It's gone. Your brother or someone can tell you about that play, but the chances of you seeing it again on the sports that night at 6 o'clock, and that was the only time you could see it because there was no other place to see it, it was gone. It was just gone forever, in your mind anyway. It was gone.
15 years ago, if you ask somebody how long is the average TV commercial break, they tell you it's about 90 seconds to 2.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Nowadays,
Chuck Woolery, 2 and 2.
Yeah, nowadays it's people don't know because they've never had to race to the bathroom in time. Like, you imagine you've heard shouted from your living room, yeah, you're gonna miss it. It's back on. That hasn't been shouted in any household in this country in the last 5 years.
No, and there's an advantage too. To if you have to use the facility during a game, you just hit the pause on it.
Yep.
It could, because then when you get to halftime, well, you get to just skip right through it, and you know you can jump ahead at the appropriate time. It kind of gives you a little bit of an advantage there.
Well, and the steady cheapening of technology too, because I remember when people had TiVo, but it was only those kids. Mm. There were like 3 kids, and their parents had TiVo.
It cost like $300 for the unit, and it was really expensive.
Oh, and then there was the Hoppa for a little while. It was the Hopper. Made things cheaper and you could do that. But I have always had MapQuest. MapQuest existed before I had a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important for people to say things like that out loud because it's really easy to not confront the fact that, yeah, I've never navigated with a paper map. Ever. Mm-hmm. I think I seem like a reasonable individual, at least to a degree. You might look at me and say, yeah, he could read a map. And you're right, I can. But I've never had to in my entire life. And it's really easy to look. Like, I saw a Facebook post the other day. It's just, you want to confuse a millennial, put them with a rotary phone and a manual clock. It's just like, okay, the fact that you shared this Facebook post means that old dogs can learn new tricks and young ones can learn the old ones. Like, this was an octogenarian posting it on Facebook. So it's like, yeah, the gaps between generations, they're not what they used to be,
yeah.
You know, because we all use Facebook.
Yeah, and that's with the turning, getting back full circle now back to what we talked about at the beginning about 2025, and that's kind of what it's all about, is just the realization of the passing of time. The time is passing at the same pace it was last week or the week before, but now the realization, I think that's what New Year does. It kind of gives you a marking point, like, whoa. This year, my birthday, I'm going to be X years old. Everybody thinks about that, about what they're going to be this year, old-wise, and how many years ago it was that fill-in-the-blank X happened. 25 is a pretty solid number. Even the worst of people that got C-minuses in fourth-grade math can take, you know, 1989, well, 25, you know, it's 36 years ago. That's pretty simple math. Mm-hmm. Your mind can compute how long ago that was pretty fast now.
Usually. I mean, and it was really convenient back in 2005 when 1980 was 25. You know, there were really flat, clean numbers. But I think that's one of the silliest things to be able to enjoy. Like, think of generations later where people are going to be born in 2134, you know, and the numbers just aren't clean. And here we are sitting here enjoying it, and they're not going to give a crap because it's not going to be that way again for another 850 years. Like, it's not, the math won't be that easy again until the year 2100. So, yeah. No, it's 2025. It's a trip.
My son, born in 2002, I remember when he was born thinking to myself, he's the class of 2020. That's crazy. that still, that feeling, that emotion, that memory still lives on even past 2020.
Well, what are they putting up the signs on the highway? I saw, was it 2038? Is that what it is?
Class of 38, yeah.
Yeah, that
The kindergartners this year.
Wow. Yeah. Somebody who made those signs. I picture the person who designed those had an existential moment. Okay, I'm going to sit down for an hour, think about it, and then I'm going to design this sign that says 2038 on it.
Greg Gunderson this afternoon from 2 to 7. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Joel.
We've got some news coming up for you in just a moment here on the morning show.
New Country Now.
Yo, 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 what's up, y'all? It is your boy Jelly Roll.
I'm not okay, but it's all